I'm doing something I don't usually do on my laptop because we have a filter here in the station. Understandably so. You can't have people going on and looking at sites that they shouldn't be going on to look at. So on my iPad, I have put in Hugh Hefner just to remind myself of who exactly the man was. His death has been announced, and indeed some of the things that he got up to and some of the people he surrounded himself with. And he seems like as if he had 91 very eventful years. We're going to be talking about him in just a moment. Quite a few of you, for some reason, have used this song. We're asking for tunes or lines from songs that would be appropriate for Ryanair. There's about seven people said on the texts, we should play this one. Is that a bit harsh? Probably not, if you're sitting somewhere and you wish you were somewhere else because they've let you down. Right, I want to speak to Kelly Turtle, who's available to speak to us. And let me see. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Kelly, you're not overly impressed with the memory of Hugh Hefner.
Oh, well, he is a bit of a mixed bag, to be fair to him. As a feminist, I sort of look at the legacy he's left in terms of how he approached women and his idea of sexual liberation, which was very much centred on men at the centre and women being available to men. If you just even look at the photos of himself, surrounded by all these very young, very beautiful women, it's not really a version of sexual liberation that I'm particularly interested in as a feminist. Having said that, he was very progressive in his views. His magazine promoted things like equal rights, LGBT rights, abortion rights, at a time when that was very controversial in America. So he is a bit of a mixed bag, but I don't really have much positive reviews really of his legacy with regards to the empire that he built and his version of sex and sexual liberation.
It is very balanced, if you don't mind me saying or reacting to your analysis. You're a lobbyist, you're a member of the Belfast Feminist Network. I would have almost expected you to have been saying he is the devil incarnate.
Well, some feminists are saying that today, but there are some feminists who just hate pornography and therefore see him as a figure of hate. I personally don't have an issue with pornography, and many women work in that industry and they make very good money in it. I was reading this morning an interview with the Lib Dem politician Marina Baker, who had been a Playmate of the Month back in the 1980s and earned £17,500. For that one photo shoot. I'm not here to criticise that industry per se, but certainly what Hugh brought to it, I don't think was very helpful for women. He was actually going back on the progress that women were making. Women's sexual liberation should come at our own hands, basically, and at our own agenda. But what Hugh was doing was making women objects for men's gratification. So I would certainly criticise Playboy for that, and it continues to do that to this day. For me, it's not where I think the most interesting progressive liberating stuff is happening in that world of the whole kind of, you know, sex industry and pornography. But he certainly represents something very progressive, not just the sexual aspect of it. You know, in the 60s with the Playboy Mansion, he was building an empire not just based on sex but on power and the kind of very powerful, influential men who hung around him. And it was a time, we'll have to remember, where women were moving into public life, into the workplace, but that was sending a message out that you're really just here to be attractive. You'll never have access to this world of power and influence on the same level as men. So that was very problematic as well. So for someone who thought he was such a big liberator into gender equality, what he was doing was actually very regressive and not helpful at all. And I'm much more interested in the work that women have done over the decades to bring about equality and liberation for women.
But can you criticise him if you accept that the politician who you referred to as a playmate, and understandably was, or the four girls that I'm looking at on the screen in front of me, where Hugh Hefner sitting in the middle of them with his hand on their knees and they're scantily clad, those women are probably being very well paid for what they're doing. They look incredibly confident to me. They don't look like as if they're being coerced in any way to be in that Playboy mansion. They are earning money and they will probably live a pretty lavish lifestyle as a result of being a playmate. You can't have it. And again, I go back to what I said at the beginning. You're very balanced in your analysis, but feminists can't have it both ways. You can't support women who are prepared to be in Playboy and criticise Hugh Hefner.
Oh, you absolutely can, because whatever women make whenever they get involved in that world, it doesn't even come close to the type of money that someone like Hugh Hefner will accrue for himself. So as I said earlier, you know, Marina Baker talks about how the amount of money she made was brilliant for her because it actually freed her up to become a political activist, to spend her time doing that. But she herself even looks back now and says that she recognises that overall the legacy that Playboy has left is not a positive one for women. That's not a contradictory thing at all, really, to be able to criticise the power dynamic that is at play in something where a man is in control, where the women involved are never going to reach the kind of influence or the kind of earning potential that the man at the centre of it will make.
And it's not just a magazine now, it's a whole series of pornography channels. Mm. Again, I would have expected you, possibly, as a representative of the Belfast Feminist Network, to be more critical of those channels. Maybe that's my ignorance.
Well, no. To some extent, I think feminists have been pigeonholed, thinking that we're all very anti-sex and anti-porn, and that's not true. But we are very critical of the sexism that exists within that industry. And a lot of those channels now, particularly since the 90s, have gotten worse. They've gone downhill. And some of the things that, to be honest, Hugh Hefner did say that he stood for, like he wanted to articulate that women have a right to have sexual desire, well, that has actually over the decades gone completely the other way. This pendulum has swung the other way, where now women's sexual desire is actually just something for the gratification of men. And if you look at those porn channels, women really are nothing more than just in the roles that are being played out for women there. The only roles that are available to women are ones where they're performing for men's gratification. So yes, I am very critical of how those channels and internet porn and the extent and the degree of severity to which women's roles there have become more and more and more subversive and actually quite exploitative in a lot of the porn that is available now. So yes, I'm completely critical of that, and I don't think Hugh helped with that because, as I said, he set up a model around himself where it was very much controlled by men and it was for the male gaze. I mean, even the fact that the women were called playmates and bunnies, it's very infantilising. It doesn't really create an equal playing field. Women weren't really being invited in to participate there as equals with men. It was very clear they were being invited into that space to serve men. I would be critical of the whole set up there, but completely understand that women have choices to make and women have pressures, and often women have children to feed. So women can participate in that industry in whatever way they need to.
Whenever you're in town and you go into some of the very obvious fashion stores that sell the Playboy merchandise, and you see like a 13 or 14 year old child with a t-shirt that has a Playboy set of ears on the front mm-hmm. of it, or she's carrying a Playboy handbag. Do you think they really know? Do the parents really know that they're supporting the porn industry by making those purchases?
No, I think the branding has become very divorced from the context, which they've done very successfully there. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and if she wanted to buy Playboy branded stuff in a few years' time, I would absolutely not allow her. And I would be making it clear in age-appropriate terms as to why that would be the case. I don't like to see that sort of branding being pushed down onto younger and younger girls, because somewhere along the line they will make the connection. I really think it's time, in terms of where we're going for women now and sexual liberation for women now, it should be very much about women being in control of their sexuality. I don't think the Playboy model has anything to offer women in the modern world.
So Hugh Hefner, as he's laid to rest at 91 years of age, and I'm sure there'll be many a man listening to this thinking, my goodness me, what a life he had. He must have had a wonderful, wonderful life. On the face of it, he looks like as if he had fun all the way. I'm sure it was anything but. However, it looks like 91 years were spent in a very enjoyable way, the envy of most men. Is that indeed a poor reflection on the male psyche to think that Hugh Hefner had a good time?
Well, he's definitely more of an icon for men than he would ever be for women. And when you read some of the reports that have come out over the decades of women who were involved with him, who were in the Playboy Mansion and things like that, some of them have less than glowing reports, really, as to what he was like on a personal level. And I would worry about any man who thought that your relationship with women was really should be about having as many as you want, as young as you want, and as beautiful as you want. I would really rather see men who were interested in women as human beings, as equals, emotionally, intellectually, and everything else, because like, at the end of the day, that's what relationships are about. There's maybe been many a man who's gone into a relationship, and if it's only about the physical, they, we all know that that doesn't last forever. And certainly, I think for younger people, they get so caught up. You know, young women today are so worried about their physical attractiveness because they think that that's all that men and boys want. So, yeah, I would worry a wee bit if he's the gold standard, really, for what it is to have a good life and have a good relationship with women.
And it has got worse, as you say, finally. It has got worse because there was a time when there was only Playboy and a few other associated magazines. Now everyone's got it on their telephone.
Completely. And by the 1990s, Playboy looked extremely tame and actually sort of made it look a bit cliched and old fashioned in terms of what was on offer. And we've seen lad mags that rose through the 90s and actually now have declined, and a lot of them have gone out of circulation because of the internet, because there's so much available at the click of a button. And as a woman, I don't want to think that the younger generation of men and women are going to be influenced by very exploitative expressions of sexuality. So I think we've got a job of work to do to just keep on educating young people about sexuality. We don't have any decent sex education in our education system here. So if we were doing that and we were having really good open conversations with young people about sex instead of being prudish and worried about talking to them, then we could actually redress the balance a little bit.
Hard to argue with that, Kelly. Thanks for coming on. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Kelly Turtle is with the Belfast Feminist Network. At our invitation, reacting to the, or giving her analysis on the passing of arguably one of the most famous men in the world, Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy, who has died at the age of 91. Is it a magazine that you've subscribed to? Were you impressed by the writing in it? And I know somebody's there impressed by the writing in it. You never read it, you only look at the pictures. Absolutely not. Some of the writing in Playboy has been of the highest standard. Read any of the analysis today of the passing of Hugh Hefner and you will find that some of those who have contributed to the magazine have been the world's greatest writers. As for the pictures, would it be something that would, I suppose, adorn your coffee table? Let us know. 90-333-105. 90-333-105. 077-66-105-105. And do you have a form of admiration for Hugh Hefner, or do you see him as an old sleazeball? Let us know. Here's a text from someone called Rushy, and I'm going to read it out to show the ignorance of people. And Rushy was very impressed with the feminist Kelly Turtle and accepting that she was very balanced, and indeed he's passing her comments on what Kelly Turtle might look like. I have no idea what Kelly Turtle looks like, but he's drawn up in his head that Kelly Turtle is a very attractive woman. And he goes on to say, unlike other feminists, most of whom are unmarried, overweight and keep four cats. You know, how degrading, Rushy, is that of women generally, and especially of women who would describe themselves as feminists? Number one, there are huge numbers of feminists who are married. There are women of all shapes and sizes who are feminists. And I'm not convinced that you have to have a cat to be a feminist. So while you're very complimentary about Kelly Turtle, and other people are as well, about her balanced approach to the analysis of someone who wouldn't be the darling of the feminist world, Hugh Hefner, I think, Rushy, that's the sort of attitude that we need to do our best to eradicate, where you believe that feminists tend to be unmarried, overweight, and interested in multiple cats. I despair, I do, I despair. Just in case you are joining us, there'll be some of you maybe have no idea who Hugh Hefner is. I was just thinking, is this possible? He has died. He's 91 years old. He was the founder of Playboy, and he'd be remembered for being a hugely successful businessman, but also in terms of image, for being constantly surrounded by beautiful, scantily clad women. Right, 90333105, 077 66 105. Did you ever actually buy the magazine just because of a particular playmate? And would you be surprised at some of the people who were playmates, including the politician who was referred to during our conversation? There were more famous ones as well. Who's this?
Playboy was my university, I always say.
Yeah?
And I graduated with honours.
90333105, if you know who that is. Also, this person was a Playboy playmate.
I used to appear on, when I was modelling, on men's magazine covers.
Including Playboy. So, who is she? As a matter of fact, who are both of them? I think you'll get either or. As for this one, I'm not so sure. As a matter of fact, this one, I'm going to have to look up myself just to see who she is.
You first did it, what, 1993?
Yes, that was the first time I posed.
And you've now done it 6 times?
They recycled some photos, but I did do it 3 times, and I had 6 covers.
Yeah, I'm going to look up the contributor as opposed to the interviewer. But, who is that?
You first did it, what, 1993?
Yes, that was the first time I posed.
And you've now done it 6 times?
They recycled some photos, but I did do it 3 times, and I had 6 covers.
You don't have to have bought Playboy, by the way, to know who these people are. Give us a ring, 90333105, if indeed you can name any one of them. The one who should be most recognisable is this one.
I used to appear on, when I was modelling, on men's magazine covers.
Incredibly famous. The first one I played is possibly to the modern era, the one that's most recognisable.
Playboy was my university, I always say.
Yeah?
And I graduated with honours.
The other one, even I haven't heard of. Right, Well, I'll rephrase that. I haven't heard of her. 90333105, 077 66 105. Let me see, where's that old laptop to put it in here to have a look, have a gawk. Okay, dear, oh dear, jeepers, holy smokes. Oh dear, mommy, get rid of that. Okay, 90333105, 077 66 105 105. See some of the text coming through. Is there a prize? What do you want? A year subscription to Playboy? She wouldn't want the magazine. That would be the sort of prize that you wouldn't accept. Let me speak to Raymond, who's on this line. Or would you? Raymond, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Raymond, if I was to say, if I was to say the prize is a copy of Playboy, would you accept it?
I'd be delighted.
You'd be happy enough for it to be posted to you at your home?
Well, I'm actually in the Royal Victoria Hospital at the moment.
But would you...
And you can post it here if you want.
Right. So we could come round with it to you. The nurses will beat us over the head and put us out for having literature like
probably
that on the ward. But if it arrived on your mat at home, would you stand on it to make sure that the wife didn't see it? Would you lift it and take it out and say, oh, right, I'll come, my latest edition of Playboy.
I would probably let her have a wee look at it with me, just for a laugh.
Yeah, so you have a very understanding missus.
Yes, yes.
What about the three that I played? Which one do you reckon you know?
Marlon Monroe.
Marlon Monroe, absolutely.
I think Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, no. Goldie Hawn's not in there, but you did say Marlon Monroe. I'll tick her off. This is Marlon.
I used to appear on, when I was modelling, on men's magazine covers.
Let me speak to Gillian. Raymond, you're right. Gillian, good morning.
Hello, Frank.
Gillian, if the prize was a copy of Playboy, would you accept it?
Yeah.
So you're...
Yeah, I watched the programme of Hugh Hefner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're an open-minded sort of a lady.
Very much so, yes.
And would you accept my analysis that there is very good writing in Playboy magazine?
You have to have an open mind, Frank, nowadays.
Yeah, because
it's very good writing. It is good. You know, it doesn't just show ladies that are half undressed. It's very interesting.
there are articles.
It's about people's lives, yeah. It's about people's lives.
Yeah, there are. There's no doubt about it. There are articles in Playboy that have nothing at all to do with sex that are interesting reads. But,
yes.
Gillian, do you think many women would have subscribed to the success of Hugh Hefner down the years?
No, maybe not. But then that's the way people lived, you know. It's a different day now. Whenever it first came out, it would have been totally different. Women wouldn't have been allowed even probably to look at those.
Do you think you as a woman, women in general, are more liberated now?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, we'll keep trying. But we're getting there.
But do you feel you need to keep trying? Because that's what, indeed, Kelly was speaking about, the liberation of women.
Uh-huh.
The sexual liberation of women. Do you feel that women are still on a journey, or did they arrive at the destination a long time ago?
Hard to say, Frank. I think it's hard to describe. I think we are free now, far freer than what we were, but I think sometimes some women just take it overboard as well. You know what I mean? They like to just go on and on and on. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, could you give me an example of what you mean by going on and on and on?
Because they're still going on about, women's sexuality, about different people's sexuality. It seems to be the main topic of things. Why don't people just get on with the way they are? You know, if you like that type of thing, fair enough, go for it. You know, if you don't believe other people alone.
Gillian, it's hard to argue with your analysis. I'm going to play you this voice, and I want you to tell me who she is.
Playboy was my university, I always say.
Yeah?
And I graduated with honours.
It is a great line, but who is she?
I think that it's Pamela Anderson.
You know you're a good-looking woman, Gillian. That's all I can say. It is Pamela Anderson. And if I had a copy of Playboy, I would send it to you as a prize.
No problem. Thank you, anyone.
Cheers, Gillian.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. The other lady, I didn't even attempt to get people to identify her because I've been doing my best to look her up and I haven't really found her. I've come across others that have shocked me. Oh. Not ready for all of that. Right, good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105, whatever is on your mind, we're happy to hear from you. And play this girl again while I do look her up during the next song. And if you think you know who she is, I will give you a rapturous round of applause.
You first did it, what, 1993?
Yes, that was the first time I posed.
And you've now done it 6 times?
They recycled some photos, but I did do it 3 times, and I had 6 covers.
Apparently she's married or was married to a hugely successful actor. Donna is on the line. Morning, Donna.
Good morning, Frank.
Donna, name that girl for me.
That name is Joan Collins.
Do you know
the
it's...
The American actress.
It's interesting. Did Joan Collins ever take a step towards Playboy magazine? Did she, you know, I'm sure she visited the mansion, but I wouldn't have imagined she was ever a playmate. I wouldn't have imagined. I must look it up. I'm sure she was a pal of Hefner's. I'm sure she would have moved in those circles. But I'd be very, very surprised if Joan Collins comes under the umbrella of Playmate. However, maybe she did. Donna, are you older than me? Would you know about these things?
No, Frank, did your mother never tell you, never ask a lady her age?
I know, but I just asked, were you older than me? I didn't ask you what age you actually are.
No.
So you're,
no, no.
You're only a young thing.
I am.
We're looking it up here. We have a team of people working on this. Apparently Joan Collins. I don't want to be sued here because I'm gonna double check it. I'm gonna double check it myself. Donna, if you were the overall winner and we were to send you a copy of Playboy, would you reject the prize?
I would reject it, but probably my husband wouldn't.
And you wouldn't mind if he did accept it?
Oh no no no.
You're a liberated woman. I like your style, Donna. Thanks for speaking to me. And you know something, girl?
What?
I've now discovered a picture of Joan Collins on the front of Playboy.
There you go, Frank.
Jeeves, she was well put together, Joan Collins. That is a while ago. That is a while ago.
Now, Frank, behave.
I know, I've only been honest. You know, I imagine Joan Collins to be a woman in her 70s.
Oh, no, no. You've got to go back. They were young once.
I'm telling you, she was young once. And look in the business. Hey, Donna, thank you.
You're welcome, Frank.
Thank you. The pleasure of my morning has been doing that bit of research. Brona's on this line. Good morning, Brona.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I am very well, Brona. If you were to win and the prize was a copy of Playboy, would you accept the prize, Brona?
Look, I wouldn't mind. Whatever floats your boat.
I like your style. Do you know, see this image of Northern Ireland being a prudish place. We touched on this earlier in the week. We did an hour and a half on it, actually. Northern Ireland isn't nearly as prudish as we're made out to be in the media.
I don't know. I just think people are living back in the day. They need to go into the, they need to get in with a hip now.
In with a hip. I like you. Just whatever floats your boat is a great term. The woman I played, who was married to a famous actor, who is she?
Is it Pamela Anderson?
No, we had Pamela Anderson earlier, but this one, let me play you this one. She was married to a famous actor.
You first did it, 1993?
Yes, that was the first time I posed.
And you've now done it 6 times?
They recycled some photos, but I did do it 3 times, and I had 6 covers.
I had to look her up. I wasn't familiar with her name. Once I found her and began to read about her, I became more aware that I should have known her, but I wouldn't have been able to put a face to her grace, so to speak. She's very much from the very recent past. She's the sort of person.
I don't know that voice at all. I was just listening. I thought it was Pamela Anderson.
I see David on the text has managed to give us the right answer. David, you're the only person there that I can see. Maybe others have come up as well. I'll skim through. Yeah, a few more. There's a few more. Yeah. Oh, it's coming through now. People know that it is Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy was married to Jim Carrey. Thank you very much. Let me see who deserves the praise there. Good on you for being able to work it out. Michael in Downpatrick knew it was Jenny McCarthy. There's one that's unsigned saying Jenny McCarthy. Brendan saying Jenny McCarthy. And Dervla, Jenny McCarthy as well. Right, that's the research over on the life of Hugh Hefner. And there's the iPad being closed and put away. And there'll be a confession box sought out sometime over this weekend. Good morning to Mags, who's in Clonard. Does not like whenever there's a risque topic on the radio, like the legacy of Hugh Hefner. But Mags, good morning to you. Also, good morning to an old mate of mine, Peter. I'm not going to say anything more than to say hello to Peter, who's been through a really difficult time over the last 3 or 4 years. And he's now getting back into his career. And I want to wish him the very, very, very multiplied by lots of other varies. Best wishes to you, Peter. Best wishes. And hello to Sandra. Good morning to Sandra as well. You deserve every success. Therese is on this line. Good morning, Therese.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, Therese. Hugh Hefner?
I don't know why you're discussing him, because he was just a dirty old man who made a fortune out of his dirty old magazines. And the girls in the mansions were... they're just for the money, for the gifts, the cars, the clothes. They just prostituted themselves out them. And I'm very surprised that he lived till he was 92.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to use the word prostituted themselves.
They
weren't prostitutes. That's important to highlight.
Oh, they were high class. They were there for the money and the gifts, Frank.
So you feel...
they might have had a good name by themselves, but that's what they were. That's what they were there for, to get what they could get out of them.
Yes, but they were working in an industry, yes, the sex industry. They were selling magazines, they were entertaining
dirty
guests.
Magazines. Dirty selling themselves. That's what they were doing, they were selling themselves. And I don't know why you're even discussing it on your show, because he's just dirt. Their magazines was dirt. And then you have the nerve, Frank, to ask those women, would you take the Playboy magazine? Personally, I wouldn't. I'd throw it in the bin or the fire. Who wants to be looking at dirty magazines?
Most people who I put the challenge to this morning, or the question to this morning, if there was a prize, which was a copy of Playboy, would you accept the prize? I think I asked that to 7 people, and 6 of them said yes, male and female.
Well, I don't know what anybody would want with a dirty magazine. I'd rather have a mug. But all the best to you, Frank. Thank you. Bye.
Tress, thank you for the call. I presume that would be a U105 mug as opposed to a Hugh Hefner mug. But I'm with Trez. I love the way Trez uses language, the dirty magazines. And that is straight out of Northern Ireland, straight out of Ireland, isn't it? That is absolutely how those magazines were described in the 60s, 70s, 80s. No doubt at all. When I would have been growing up, that shop sells dirty magazines, as opposed to that shop sells literature that is associated with the sex industry. So are we on a journey that takes us on a downward spiral, as Trez has suggested, or are we, as other people have suggested, more liberated now, more comfortable with nudity, with sex, and with the other attributes that go with the likes of Playboy and the similar channels and magazines that are available. It's your opinion that's very welcome and important, like Therese's is important. She sees Hugh Hefner as nothing other than a dirty old man with his dirty magazines. Good morning, Frank. Here's a question from the women in work here. I'm not sure where work is, but good morning. Good morning to you. And it says, it's a question for you to answer. Is there a female version of Hugh Hefner with men running about the mansion half naked? I don't know. I don't think so. Would there be a demand for a female Hugh Hefner with a lot of boys running about dressed like rabbits? Probably not. Probably not. Right, good morning. 90-333-105-077-66-105-105. To be honest, maybe it's my old-fashioned attitude, but I'm slightly surprised by the acceptance of Hugh Hefner this morning from the texts, from the calls. I think that text there maybe is scolding in so much as there's a person or a group of women who are in the workplace who are less than happy with the idea of Hugh Hefner being seen as some sort of respectable figure. But most of the texts, most of the emails that we've received this morning sum up a fond memory of an old bloke who brought a lot of entertainment to the masses.
Hiya, Frank. It's only about Hugh Hefner. I think everybody should just get off their high horse, because the way I see it is he never done any harm to anybody.
Well, I think that's fair enough. I've heard no commentary about him being anything other than a successful businessman. Some people would say he's a bit sleazy, but he's a very successful businessman.
Nobody. Look at the likes of Gary Glitter, all them, and, you know, and they made their money. And I think Hugh Hefner, he loved his wee play, women, whatever they were, right? And I watched that documentary that I think your other caller, Edward, was talking about, and I watched that documentary, and them women sort of just, they were just there, they got their money, but they actually really, really loved them.
Yeah, you make a good point. There were some disgusting people in show business down the years. You mentioned one of them. We'll not mention any of the others, but, you know, you just take those sorts of people and you throw them into the pathetic dustbin of history, and then you look at other people like Hugh Hefner, who turned out to be hugely successful. He provided a service that there was a massive demand for. He employed a lot of people, a significant number of women, obviously. But, and here's the but, Julia, a lot of people feel that the way he employed the women was to the disadvantage of the women and to women in general. They looked like frivolous characters. They looked like on the periphery. They looked like sad in many ways, that the most they had to offer was the wiggle of their bum and the size of their boobs.
You know what, but that's how they made their money. That's how Pam Anderson, that's how everybody made their money. They made their money through that there, so they did.
So you think people should wind their neck in a bit?
I actually do. Like, I'm 45, okay? I remember Playboy. I remember my wee sister. She wanted the Playboy duvet and all that there, and you thought, oh my God, but get over it. He didn't do nothing wrong. He did have a label. He had the women. The women wanted to go to him. Let the women go to him. That's their choice.
If the man in your life was a subscriber to Playboy and was buying the magazine on a regular basis, would you have objected at all?
No, I think I'd laugh.
So you get a giggle out of it?
I think I would laugh, yeah.
All right.
The same as, I remember your fella, Edward, was on the phone and you had the top row of the shop. You went into the shop. We were talking earlier on about the magazines, and it was the top shelf. You know, and I remember that there, you know, when I was going in 20-year-old and the top shelf was the magazines. Now, you don't get them anymore.
I don't think there's a demand for it anymore, is there?
Probably not, no.
Pornography online is so prevalent. It's so prevalent now.
Oh, well, do you see, that's different. Yeah, I would object to that, like.
Yeah, Julia, interesting commentary, and thank you for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank, for listening to me. Thank you.
Not a bother. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Remember the old top shelf magazines? Remember that? You'd go into, like, the wee paper shop in any provincial town, and there'd be a row of magazines high up. You couldn't really get your neck craned to see what they were called. Razzle used to be up there. Remember that? What a name. The innocence of our youth. Also want to speak to Laura LeCall. Laura, good morning.
Hello.
You're in mourning today for someone who you'd be very respectful of, someone who you would probably have liked to have worked for. Am I right, or is that overstating it, Laura?
Someone who I've admired and respected, Hugh Hefner, yeah.
And why do you admire him so much? For people who aren't familiar with the name, Laura, you work in the glamour industry. You have done for some time. You'd probably be Northern Ireland's best-known glamour model.
Well, that's nice what you say. So, but I've given up for like 3 years now, but I'm still passionate about the industry, and I think that he did a lot for women getting into that type of work. You know, he created a platform that allowed women to express that part of themselves, and equally people to enjoy and admire that.
You never saw the women being taken advantage of in the industry?
No, I mean, I've never been taken advantage of. You always hear some sort of stories, but I don't know of anyone firsthand. That's not to say that it doesn't happen to some people, but I think across any industry there's always people exploiting.
Yes, I don't mean in any way when I say taken advantage of. I don't mean that there would have been some sort of interaction that would have been illegal or untoward.
Okay.
I'm talking about taking advantage of you as a woman, benefiting financially from the availability of the female, and therefore demeaning the female to some extent.
No, like, people choose this as an occupation because it's something they enjoy doing. No one's taking advantage of anyone because, you know, it's your choice. It's a career path that you've chosen, and you're getting something out of it. Obviously, you know, you're getting, you're being paid from it, but you're getting much more from it. And it's just something that I've always been passionate about, and I've never really understood a lot of the arguments against it, because it's a woman's right to choose what she wants to do. And I don't know why people get this concept that someone's been coerced into it, or they're being taken advantage of because people ogle at the images. That's just part of nature.
And would you encourage other women in Northern Ireland to be involved in the glamour industry?
I would encourage women in Northern Ireland and further afield to do whatever they choose to do, as long as they're not harming anyone. I think that's a woman's prerogative. I think it's a male prerogative as well. Do what you want to do. There shouldn't be any limitations on that or any judgment.
Okay. Laura, thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it. Laura LeCall, recently retired glamour model. But